You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores,
scoring the goals. He scores.
Hello and welcome to the League Podcast with William Hill. It's Alex Dunn and Jason Lewis here to look ahead to the final day of League One and League Two. We've got three games to look at in each. There is plenty to play for at both ends of, well, I was going to say both tables. That's not strictly true, but still plenty to play for. And also a lot not to play for, which could result in some freak results, if you like, some games with plenty of goals, or indeed nothing could happen, but hopefully that won't be the case. Joining me in the line is Jason Lewis. Good afternoon, Jason.
Good afternoon, Alex. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. In fact, good morning as we're recording this. It's 11:30. I've been up a while, you know. I don't want to brag. We have got some humdingers, haven't we, to look forward to. Some key games at both ends of the table. There are some things that aren't decided yet that are almost decided, to the point where it is a little bit difficult to get overly excited about them. And then there are some, for example, the playoff race in League One, where it is truly fascinating and a good old-fashioned last day of the season, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you've got that promotion race in League One. We've got three teams immediately sitting on that one. And the thing is, with how English football seems to be nowadays, you can't really predict anything. You look at, we're going to cover both Burton and Walsall games shortly, but as it looks now, with 3 points and a 3-goal difference in Burton's favour, you'd say it's pretty much done. But it only takes Burton to lose and Walsall to win by 2 goals, and they're there. And as we'll go over in detail, but stranger things have happened in football. Then down in League Two, likewise, it's a very interesting race for those final two automatic promotion spots, where you've got Accrington, Oxford and Bristol Rovers. And at the foot of the table, it's done in League Two, but it's certainly not done in League One, with some teams with games on paper they think they should be able to get something out of, but nothing's easy at this stage of the season. So hopefully we can guide the listeners through to a few more winners and set ourselves up nicely for the playoffs.
Hopefully. Before we start, I'm just going to spin you through some of the available permutations of what could happen if X result happens. So in League One, Wigan are up. Done and dusted. They are confirmed as going back to the Championship, and it would take a monster result for them not to win the league. So Wigan, congratulations, done and dusted. Burton could win the league, but they need a 20-goal swing, I think. That won't happen. Yeah. But if they avoid defeat against Doncaster, then they will go up automatically. If they do lose, then Walsall, as you said, need a 3-goal swing. Walsall, who are away at Port Vale, in order for them to go up. And that is pretty much the automatic promotion done and dusted. Now, as for the playoffs, we will have either Burton or Walsall, Millwall, Bradford, and then one of Barnsley, Scunthorpe and Gillingham. Barnsley currently occupy 6th spot, but not easy, because Barnsley travel to Wigan, who of course have already won the league, but may not be easing up completely, and as such, that could be a very, very difficult game. Scunthorpe are in fantastic form of late. They've got a slightly worse goal difference, only 2 worse than Barnsley coming into the final day of the season. But they have to travel to Sheffield United, another game that is not easy. So the door could open up for Gillingham, who, as things stand, are in 8th. They are 2 points behind both Barnsley and Scunthorpe, but with a better goal difference. So if Gillingham win at home to Millwall, who, let's not forget, are already guaranteed their spot in the playoffs, then it could be that Gillingham sneak into 6th spot. I think that's all right. So that's the playoff sorted. And now we'll go to the bottom, where Crewe and Colchester are already down. Doncaster, who host Burton, are as good as down. They need a mammoth goal swing to have any chance of staying up. That would be a pretty, well, it's highly unlikely anyway. Doncaster are as good as down. Blackpool are not quite as good as down. They are away at managerless Peterborough, and a win for them combined with a Fleetwood loss at home to already relegated Crewe would see Blackpool safe. Unfortunately, their goal difference is pretty appalling, so a Fleetwood draw would scupper Blackpool's chances of staying up. So Fleetwood know they only have to draw at home to already relegated Crewe and bottom of the table Crewe, but Blackpool would have to win away at London Road for that to happen. How's that for you, Jason?
That was brilliant. If Jeff Stelling does ever retire, I'm putting you in first dibs for that job.
Thanks.
And I think I've just about got my head around it.
Yeah.
Maybe the listeners have as well.
Basically, in terms of genuinely interesting stuff, Blackpool need to win and hope that Fleetwood lose.
Yep.
And for Barnsley and Scunthorpe, they pretty much, I would say, have to win.
Yeah, they have to win.
Pretty much. Because between Barnsley, Scunthorpe and Gillingham, you'd expect one of those sides to win.
Yeah.
Now, if it's Gillingham and the other two fail to win, then we could have a right upset on our hands because you'll have three sides on the same number of points. But Gillingham have the better goal difference, despite the fact that they're in pretty rank form and have pretty much dropped away, haven't they,
in recent weeks. Thing when you look at it, Gillingham have got no form whatsoever without a win, at least in five, as I look at the short form table. Scunthorpe are on a great winning run and Barnsley are sort of just holding things together, just picking up points here and there after ending the season so well. So you'd almost think it would be a misjustice or injustice if Gillingham pull a win out of nowhere after ending the season so badly. But that would be football in a nutshell, really. So that's the real interesting one in League One, isn't it? The race for that sixth spot. So I think that's where most of the interest will be in the league this weekend. But unfortunately, we're not going to cover any of those games because I didn't fancy any of the prices.
No, and that's what we're putting on our best bets. And I think also in those games, you do get some ludicrously short prices against things that are unlikely. And all three of those games, I'd say, are really difficult to call, despite the fact that the majority of them, well, they all involve some decent sides, don't they? You've got six of the top 10 facing off against each other there. So
yeah, there's no game in there that I thought, one of those three was going to be a banker, and the prices there, it didn't tempt me at all. So that was why I stayed clear of it.
Okay, well, we'll start with Doncaster against Burton then. It's a game that we've already discussed. Doncaster, who are as good as down, Burton are as good as up. So two sides who need mammoth swings, well, Doncaster in order to stay up and Burton to go down. Doncaster are priced up at 100-30. The draw is 21-10 and Burton are 19-20 for this televised contest. Burton know exactly what they need to do, and if they do what they've been doing all season, then you would expect them to win this. Away from home, they've been pretty good all season. They've only drawn once, incredibly. Lost 9 and won 12. But Doncaster have almost sleepwalked into this relegation battle, haven't they? They've sort of looked, they've been on the fringes for a lot of the season. Then they had a dreadful run of form, and they have picked up in recent weeks, but it's been too little too late. And losing away at bottom of the table Crewe, who were already down, pretty unforgivable, and that's what they did last time out, Jason.
Yeah, it was the final nail in the coffin, really. That's what's been a horrendous 2016 for Doncaster. When you look at it, it looked like they were going to at least take it to the final day after beating both Coventry and Wigan at home, either side of a draw at Chesterfield. But before that run of three unbeaten games, Doncaster hadn't won a game since the 2nd of January. That's a run of 16 games, losing 12 and drawing 4. And interestingly, when you say that they've sort of been around the relegation all the season, it's only really been over that poor run. The win they had on the 2nd of January over Southend at the start of the year had them sitting 11th in the league table, just 6 points outside the playoffs. Since then, they've only added 11 points and sit 22nd, and, well, they're down. I don't care what anyone says, and they're down. So the win over Wigan was their first of the key moments since early December, which ironically was when they beat Crewe, but they couldn't repeat that feat away from home when they needed to. And at home, they've beaten Barnsley, Wigan and Coventry, but they're their only wins home or away against teams sitting in the top half of the table. So when you're looking at Burton here, who don't necessarily need a great result, but I think they need at least a point, because I'd back Walsall to go out in their game and certainly attack openly. That's what they appeared to do on Bank Holiday Monday on the televised game. So I think Burton in this one, though, unbeaten in four games, back-to-back wins against Colchester and Gillingham. It seems like deja vu to last year when I doing the podcast, said the pressure was on them, can they get the results? And they just keep getting the job done, really. That you mentioned their away record there, just the one draw and a big 12 wins. The third best record in the division, only Wigan and Walsall have claimed more points. And I think really, Burton's defence has done the job for them, really. Only 37 goals conceded in their 45 League One matches is a really impressive record. And it means their modest goals tally of 57. When you compare that to Wigan, who've scored 24 more than them, Burton have done it their own way, really. And credit to them for that. It's a winning formula. They've obviously lost Jimmy Ford Hasselbank. Nigel Clough's come in, done a good job, kept the SIP going just about, and they're going to get over the line, it seems. And I think their record against the teams at the bottom just makes it even stronger to back them here. And it's odds on Burton, but it's one of the better bets on the strong sides in League One or League Two this weekend, if you're looking at prices alone. Because for Burton, their record away from home against the bottom eight is near perfection, really. Five of their nine defeats have come against the five teams directly below them at the top of the table. Against the bottom eight, it's a completely different story. Five wins, one draw, which came at Crewe, weirdly, and the one loss against Fleetwood, which was probably my worst nap of the year, because I'll never forget that one, napping Burton to win 2-0 when they lost themselves 4-0. But I think here they're going to win, and ironically, I'd say to win 2-0 again is here at 15-8. 10 of their 12 away wins this season have been 2-0. 6-1-0 wins, 2-3-0 wins, 1-4-0 win, and 1-2-0 win. And if you want to back that up even more, Doncaster, 9 defeats at home, 6 of them all to nil. So I think my bet in this one would be them. I think the outright price is good enough, but it's strongly suggested to me them to win this game to nil at 15-8 is a great bet.
Okay. Next game that we're going to focus on is... It is Port Vale against Walsall. Port Vale, who sit in 12th and have really nothing to play for. They can finish as high as 9th. So I wouldn't say nothing to play for, but finishing 9th gets you nothing other than a little bit more money. They can finish as low as 12th, which is where they currently are. They face a Walsall side who know that they have to win to give Burton a scare. It is unlikely, but not impossible. Walsall would have to have a 3-goal swing with Burton, so they're relying on Burton losing, you'd imagine, by a goal and no more than that, and Walsall winning by 2. Stranger things, as you said, Jason, have happened, but in terms of the outrights, Port Vale are 16-5, the draw is 5-2, and Walsall are 5-6.
Yeah, to get 5-6 on the side that have the best away record in the division, that is highly unlikely to change over the last weekend of the season, I think starting off is a great way to look at this game. Off the bat, really, you got 42 points from them this season away from home, 12 wins, 6 draws, and just the 4 defeats. And really, if you look at their waveform, it's probably over the last month what's going to cost them not getting in the top two. It's been so consistent all year, and it's just deserted them at the wrong time. 4 wins and a draw at home in their last 5 has sort of flipped their home form on its head, but away from home, 3 losses and 1 win in their last 4. All of those defeats to nil is just left them that what could be just a point short or 3 points short of finishing in the top two. And to think at the start of April, Walsall had lost just one of their opening 18 away games. But I think coming into this one, they showed a certain... I watched the game on Monday and they looked determined to take it to the final day and they looked determined to make Burton work to get the promotion. So credit to them for that. And I think, again here, I think they're going to come out and be very open, very attacking in this game. But I think that'll work for them. I think they've just got the makings of a very good side that will compete very well in the playoffs over 2 legs. I don't think anyone out of those top 6 who ever does finish in 6th will probably be playing this Walsall side. And I don't think they'll fancy the trip to Walsall or even hosting Walsall. So I think in this game, though, Walsall to win. And you've got to play the logical here that Walsall are going to need goals in this game. So over 2.5 goals is there at 4-5. For Walsall, away matches have averaged better than 2.5 goals, just about at 2.64. But although only 10 of their 22 away games have been over 2.5 goals, of these, 7 have been Walsall wins. So they do know how to win in high-scoring games. But and Port Vale, you look at it as well, their games average at home exactly 2.5 goals, 55 goals in 22 matches. And for them, really, their record is very poor against the top sides. Again, like I said, with Doncaster, away from home lost 9 and won just 2. At home, it's 3 wins, 4 draws. And each of their 3 home defeats they've had this season have been against sides at the top of the table. So that points me even more towards Walsall winning this game. And their home record for Port Vale really is probably much stronger than their league position suggests, with 12 home wins, just the 3 losses. And so really, I think it's a difficult one to be so pro-Walsall and look for a ridiculous bet like Walsall minus a goal, Walsall minus 2, Walsall to win half-time, full-time. But I think Walsall over 2.5 goals certainly looks a great play in this one. I always look for the Walsall plus 3 goals higher up on the betting sort of on the website because it gets you just slightly better odds. And that's here at 15-8 in this game. And I think that's just inevitability in this game. I think this game's going to have goals. And it's got to be Walsall that get the job done. I don't think there's going to be a major upset in this one. So I think Walsall to get the job done. There's going to be plenty of goals, but unfortunately they won't get the promotion because, as I said earlier, I think Burton are going to get a win as well. But Walsall on 3 or more goals in the match, 15-8. Again, it's a very good price, similar to that Burton to win to nil price. Put them in the double when they both land, you're going to have a great weekend.
You are indeed. The final game we're going to look at in League One, it's Fleetwood against Crewe. Fleetwood know that, to all intents and purposes, a draw is enough against bottom of the table Crewe. So they are at home to a side at the bottom of the table. You would think, no problem. Crewe have got the worst away record in the whole division. And Fleetwood at home haven't been dreadful this season. They've only lost 6 times at home. Fleetwood are 4-9. The draw is 3-1. And Crewe are 7-1. The issue I have with this, Jason, is that under no circumstances, pretty much ever, do I want to back Fleetwood at 4-9.
Exactly, Mr. Alex Dunn. That is exactly where we're going with this game. Because Fleetwood, really, they probably come the end of play on Sunday. They probably will still be in League One, I imagine. But it's a difficult prospect going into a game knowing that you only need a draw. How do they approach this? Do they sit in and hope that Crewe sort of self-combust, which by Crewe's standard this season, that could well happen? Or do they go out and try and get an early lead and wrap things up early on? It's a difficult position to be in for them, and it's going to be interesting to see how they approach it. And really, they're crawling their way to safety. They do just need a single point, and they, or Blackpool not to win against Peterborough, but that's a ridiculous game to try and predict with Peterborough without a manager, Blackpool being Blackpool and all that sort of thing. So Fleetwood had the job to get it done on Monday, but weren't really a match for Walsall, losing 3-1. And the goal they did get in that game came very late on, only a consolation really. And the defeat was their second in 3 matches, but equally just their second in 8. But then on the flip side of that, they've picked up just 1 win in that time, and that's only 1 match, 1 win in 12 matches. So they don't only need a point here, but it's not filling me with a lot of confidence. But then you think, oh, they're playing Crewe, so it'll be fine. And for Crewe, really, relegation confirmed a few weeks ago now, and it was really certain for some time. But recent performances have led me to think that they're not giving up completely and starting to fold over. They could have easily just collapsed against Doncaster last weekend, but they won that game and they've brought Doncaster down with them into League Two next season. And if they feel like it, they could do the same to Fleetwood in this one as well. And the thing for me is, there's such a big price. When you look at where you can play on this game, you can get Crewe plus a goal at 2-1. So that's a draw or a Crewe win and you get 2-1. You can get Crewe plus 2 at 4-6. It's just the wrong side of even money if you look at it as a punter. But you can have Crewe to lose this game by a single goal and you still are nearly almost getting, you're doubling your stake effectively. So, and when you look at it, really, their win against Doncaster ended a run of 15 match without a victory, which it's bound to be pleasing to end that run because you don't want to carry on something like that into a new season in a new division. And in that run, you could probably only say they're outclassed in maybe 4 matches. The 3-0 away defeats at Gillingham, Peterborough and Port Vale, and the 3-1 loss at Chesterfield. They lost by just a single goal against Barnsley, who currently sit in 6th, Scunthorpe, who sit just behind them, Bradford, who sit in the playoffs, Sheffield United, who are sitting in the sort of just below the bracket of those teams chasing the playoffs, and they did get a draw of Burton. Now, they sit bottom of both the home and away table, so their position in the bottom of the league is probably justified. Their away record is grim by any means. 3 wins, 6 draws and 13 defeats. But of those defeats, 6 have been by just a single goal. So if you team that up with their 3 wins and 6 draws, that means 15 of their 22 away matches this season would land Crewe on a plus 2 handicap, which is 4-6. And by no means are they playing sort of an average League One side that you can compare those stats against. They're playing Fleetwood here, who have got all the pressure of getting a point in this game. And really, for me, that just seems a crazy but good bet on Crewe here to just make this game competitive. Fleetwood, I can't see them romping away with this game because they're going to be under so much pressure. I think Crewe plus 2 at 4-6, it's an odd bet, to say the least. But I think it's a good bet. I'm not sure what you feel about that, Alex. But just for me, that just seemed crazy, to be honest.
Well, I've napped crew a number of times this season on the basis that they are the price play more than anything else. And they are on this occasion as well. No side should be 7-1 in that league, regardless of what they're playing for, how bad they've been. And this isn't, let's just make no bones about this, this is not crew travelling to Wigan, who are flying, and even if Wigan were about to get promoted, needed a win to go up, I could not find a pro Fleetwood bet here. It's very, very likely that they'll stay up. But crew, even though crew are going to go down, they're decent value because they score plenty of goals. Yes, they let a lot in. We know that. When they're having a bad day, they have an absolutely horrible day. But yeah, I'm with you. I'd be looking for probably a pro crew bet, if nothing else. But that's what happens, isn't it, at this time of the season? You do get silly prices on sides that shouldn't be quite as short as they are.
Absolutely crazy price. There's even worse one in League Two we're going to come on to shortly. But yeah, I think the draw stood out as an out-and-out result of 3-1. I think it's a very good bet, but it's tricky to say. But I just think those crew bets are there. If you don't think Fleetwood are going to get the win, take crew plus one at 2-1, because that covers the crew win as well, obviously. But I think that plus two, I know it's very short to go. But you say taking a better odds on the team bottom of the league, but it's 4-6. I think that would be my best bet in this game. And just take your time and look, I don't think you can possibly be pro Fleetwood in this game by any certainty, at least on the outright market. It's a horrendous price, and I'd be looking for a way of crew, not necessarily to win this game, but to get something out of it and cause Fleetwood some problems. So my pick would be the crew plus two on the handicap at 4-6, but there's plenty out there for people to delve into for sure.
Okay, right, we'll move to League Two then. Should we spin you through the permutations again, Jason?
Oh, please do. I can't wait, Alex.
I'll tell you what. I'm gonna put the League podcast intro jingle underneath me here.
Just so
it doesn't sound quite so bad. There we go. How's that for you? Right then, we've got Northampton Town. They are promoted. I wish you'd stop singing, though. Northampton are promoted. They are the champions of League Two. And if they beat Portsmouth at Fratton Park, they will get 99 points. Not quite 100, but they're guaranteed to go up, and they have been for some time. But there are two automatic promotion spots still up for grabs in League Two. We've got Accrington, who've surprised many this season. They are second in the table as things stand, and a home win against bottom half Stevenage would ensure promotion for them in second spot. A draw would only be good enough if one of Oxford or Bristol Rovers failed to win. As for Oxford, a home win over Wickham would ensure that they get promoted, regardless of results elsewhere. The only time that they start to rely on other results is if they draw or lose. A defeat would only take them off if Bristol Rovers fail to win, and a draw would be okay, because Bristol Rovers' goal difference is considerably worse than Oxford. As for Bristol Rovers, they are relying on other results completely and utterly. They're at home to Dagenham and Redbridge. They've got the easiest game of the three, but they need other sides to slip up if they are to go up. It's perfectly feasible that Accrington or Oxford could struggle to win their games, and if that's the case, you'd imagine that Bristol Rovers will be ready and waiting. As for the playoffs, that's pretty much sorted. The only thing that we've got to play for there is Portsmouth and Plymouth. They could go one of two ways. Whoever finishes top of those two, they're currently in fifth and sixth, with Portsmouth just having the edge. Whoever is top at the end of that gets the home leg in the playoffs. That is the second leg, so to speak. That is the advantage, if you like. And at the bottom, it doesn't matter. Dagenham and York already down. They are battling not to finish bottom. Dagenham, who travel to Bristol Rovers, and York travel to Morecambe. 33 and 34 points, respectively, with Dagenham currently holding, well, we'll call it the advantage, but very loosely. And that's just about it. Did you enjoy that quite as much, Jason? Oh,
that was a riveting listen. Probably the best 2 minutes of the podcast this year, I'd say.
I'm glad I don't have to do that every week, I have to tell you. But there you go. So basically, once again, relegation is sorted. Portsmouth and Plymouth have a little battle on in the order that they play their playoff games. But the main one, of course, is who's going to finish second, third and fourth. And it's really, really, really tight there. We're not going to focus on the Bristol Rovers game, but I'm assuming that we're saying that they win this at home to Dagenham.
They win it and win it well, I'd say, but yeah. It's just the prices are just not worth looking at.
Yeah, they're 100 to 30 on. I thoroughly expect them to go and do a job on Dagenham, but it's whether the sides above them, Accrington and Oxford, do drop points. That's the key. Right, we're going to start with Oxford against Wickham. Oxford currently in third, Wickham in 10th. Wickham have got nothing to play for, though. And Oxford are priced up at 7-20. The draw 19-5 and Wickham are 8-1. Oxford are a side who have been consistently badly priced throughout the season, but they keep getting results. They have had a very, very good season. They are a very good side, and they do deserve to be favourites here, but they are very short. They'll be going in a lot of people's ackers. But Wickham don't deserve to be 8-1 in this game, I wouldn't have said. Oxford by far the most likely winners, but Wickham aren't just going to lie down, are they?
No, Wickham haven't lied down all year, really. And I know that on paper, if you're looking, and you'll probably do this when you're doing your ackers, you look at recent form, it's about winning 7 for them. And they've truly gone off the rails after being around the automatics for the opening month of the season. And they've always been around the playoffs. And if results go against Wickham on the final day and they lose, and the couple of teams below them are on level points, pick up points, they'll finish the season in the lowest position they've been all year, which is sad reflection probably of how their season's turned out for them, really. And as you say, crazy prices again in this game. We had 7-1 accrue. This is 8-1 on Wickham to win this one. And this one's more difficult for me because Oxford are such a good side, and I did want to be pro Oxford in this game. And it's very difficult to find a route to get a decent price on Oxford in this game, just because in the way that it was Fleetwood v Crewe, how Fleetwood aren't a top side, Oxford are a top side. But by the same measure, Wickham aren't a crew. So it's where you see the game going, really. And I think for Oxford, back-to-back 2-0 wins has kept it in their own hands, which is all they could really ask for. But any slip-up, and you'd have to think Bristol Rovers will be ready to grab the automatic promotion spot. As we say, they got Dagenham at home. It's pretty much as banker as they get for me. And for Oxford, really, they've not been completely solid at home over the last month or two. The win over Hartlepool was their first win at the Chasm in 3. And what will be a concern, interestingly, this is quite a good start, I found, that they haven't won back-to-back home games since October. And they're going to have to, really, as you look at this one. And you don't know whether that's going to be, if the players know that. Probably the manager certainly probably knows that in the build-up to this one. And it's just one of those odd stats you come across when you think Oxford have been there or thereabouts all year. But just not won back-to-back home games, which I thought was personally quite interesting. But still, I was still looking for saying pro Oxford here, and their last 6 wins have all been by 2 or more goal margin. But this game is a meeting of the 2 best defences in the division. Both conceded just 41 goals in their 45 games. And Wickham are always going to be a difficult team to beat. Just one away victory against sides above them in the table, and their majority of the points on the road have come against those at the bottom. But they've lost 7 games away from home this season, Wickham. Just one of those has been more than a single goal. And more interestingly, recently against similarly strong sides as Oxford, so Portsmouth and Accrington being the examples, they've lost by a single goal. So it leads you to think it's not going to be a walk in the park for Oxford. And, well, not to the stage where you're looking at that 7-20 price and thinking that's a great bet to put on this weekend. So it's how you look at it, really. I think it's going against what they've done in recent weeks in terms of Oxford. Because when they have been winning recently, they've been absolutely smashing the goals in. As I said, the last 6 have all been by 2 or more goals. So I think going against that, we're going giving Wickham some more credit than the bookies are giving them. And I think the credit that they deserve here. I think Oxford could actually end up just nicking this one by a single goal. So the tie handicap on Oxford, -1, you're getting that at 11-4. It's a very, very big price. And alternatively, goal scorers is always a way of getting some good value on your bet. Kemo Roof here, he's in a race to be fit. He's had an ankle problem. He missed the game last weekend, but he's the big player for Oxford, really. And only 4 players have scored more than him this season in the division. He's got 18. And as I say, he missed last weekend's game, but he scored in the game against Hartlepool the weekend before. He's here anytime 17-20. You can get him and the Oxford winner even money. Interestingly, elsewhere on the goal scorer markets for Oxford, Liam Sercombe, he's popped up plenty of key goals from midfield this season. He's got 14 in the league. He's scored in their last 2 matches. And he's a big 9-5 here anytime. I say big in terms of some of the price out there in this game. And I think he's definitely worth looking at. But interestingly, I tried to team him up with Wincast, and the price was exactly the same.
Nice.
So I'd just take him to score rather than to score and win at the same price. But that's a very good bet. But I just think Wickham are always going to be a difficult side to beat, as they've proven all year. their league position just shows how difficult probably this division's been this season, because they are a very solid defensive unit. They've got the best defensive record in the division. They just don't score enough goals. So I think impetus on Oxford here. I think they're going to just about scrape through and get the job done. So Oxford tie handicap -1, 11-4 the pick. Or alternatively, I do fancy Liam Sercombe to score again. He seems to come up with the big goal. He's their big goal player. He's got 14 this season, 9-5. But if you're looking for a match-based market, tie handicap Oxford -1, 11-4. Steer clear of 7-20 on Oxford to win, because that's just horrible.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, next up is Accrington, who currently sit in second. They host Stevenage, who sit in 19th. Stevenage have not had a fantastic season, but they're safe very comfortably as well. Accrington 1-3, the draw 7-2. Stevenage are 10-1. And, well, again, do I really want to be taking Accrington at 1-3? No, but is it going to land? Yeah, I think it will. I think Accrington will get the job done here and will guarantee their progression into League One here.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there, really. I was just looking back at last week's podcast, because we did Accrington against Wickham last weekend. And in that game, they're even money, obviously away from home at Wickham. But even money is, it probably even then I thought it was still a bit short on them to get the result, as when I spoke on the podcast last week. But I think here, it's again, it's like you say, they will probably win this game. But is there any value in us really taking them to win this game at that price outright? I don't really think so. When you look at them, they're charging towards the automatics. I compared them to a horse just timing its run perfectly over the last few fences, really, because they haven't been around the automatics all year. They've been in the playoff mix, but not been up there with Northampton and Oxford. They've sort of jumped on Plymouth and Portsmouth, dropping form, really. And they got a big 3 points at Wickham last weekend. And this game's going to be another test for them, a different test, but I think it will be another test for them. But they've passed everything that's been put in front of them recently. Unbeaten in 11 matches, scored in their last 12, scored in every home game this season, and unbeaten in 6 home matches since they lost to Portsmouth. It does make that home win look secure, really. 4 wins and 2 draws in their last 6. And they've only won 4 games in a row once this season, back in September. But they're going to need to do that or hope for a favour from either Wickham or Dagenham. But I don't see either of those coming majorly in any sense, really. So when you look at offers of ways to get into this game on a better market, you think, what can Stevenage offer you here that's going to give you a bit more value on Akron to win? And Stevenage themselves, to be fair, unbeaten in 4 matches, despite having nothing to play for in that time in terms of playoffs or avoiding relegation, with how poor Dagenham and York have been. It's been sorted, really, at the bottom of the table for some time. And they're looking to repeat their 5-game unbeaten run back in November and December. And they've held some good teams to draw at home recently, Wimbledon and Bristol Rovers. But overall, their away record against the top half is poor. 2 wins, 3 draws and the 6 defeats against the current top 12 coming into this one. And all season, really, 11 away defeats, 6 draws, just 5 wins. But they have one of these sides that always seem to compete despite that poor record. 17 of their away matches have seen both teams to score. They've kept just 5 clean sheets away from home, and 14 of their away games have been over 2.5 goals. So it's just how you play this. Do you go overs on goals or do you go both teams to score? When you look at Accrington, they've only kept 4 clean sheets at home this season. Their matches average over 3 goals per game. 18 goals have been both teams to score. 14 have been over 2.5 goals. Sit top of the form table with 20 points for the last 24. And you look at who they've lost against at home. They've only lost to Oxford, Portsmouth and Wimbledon. And they've beaten all but 2 of the current bottom 8 in the division at home. So I think everything points towards Accrington to win this game. And I really like Accrington and both teams to score, because they've never really all year been one of these teams like Burton, for example, in League One that win well to nil. They've never really liked that. They always seem to let the odd goal slip in. So I think Accrington and both teams to score here, it's a good price at 11-5 would certainly be the play for me. When you look at Accrington overs, it's really short of 3-4 to get Accrington and both teams to score, which is a very similar bet in a way. You're just hoping Stevenage can get one, which I think they will do. So Accrington and both teams to score would certainly be the play here for me. 11-5, and similar advice as the last game, really. I don't want to sound like a broken record, but unless you're putting together a really big acca this weekend, I'd steer clear of Accrington to win, however much it will probably land for you this weekend.
Yeah, although I do think Accrington and Bristol Rovers as a double to really put pressure on Wickham, that comes in at nearly 3-4 as the double.
Yeah.
It's not the
it's
best. Not the best value you're ever going to get, but it's okay, I suppose.
I'd say there's been 3-4s out there as a single that I've been less confident.
Than
that landing.
No, that is true. So. But you like Accrington and both teams to score. It certainly is not inconceivable that Stevenage do score. Certainly seems a big price in that one. The final game that we're going to look at is Portsmouth against Northampton. Northampton already crowned as champions. As I mentioned earlier, they can get to 99 points, not quite 100. But they face a Portsmouth side who are just trying to fend off Plymouth. Plymouth, who host Hartlepool, you'd thoroughly expect Plymouth to get the job done there. One heck of a trek for the final game of the season for Hartlepool fans. Portsmouth have had a pretty good season. They would have been wanting to be fighting for automatic promotion. They're just missing out on that. But they could really do with getting something here, because it can't be stressed just how important having that second leg of the playoffs at home can be. And with Portsmouth and Plymouth as well, I have them as very, very similar sides. I wouldn't know which way that player's going to go. It could come down to such a fine margin as where the second leg's played, couldn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And when you're Portsmouth, with how much the atmosphere can really get turned up at Fratton Park, you want to use that to your advantage as much as possible. And you're really going to get that when in the second leg of the game. You say that how similar Portsmouth and Plymouth have been. We'll come on to it when they do play in the playoffs. But they're if you repeated their meetings in the league season, we'd be going to extra time, because Plymouth, interestingly though, both teams won away from home. Plymouth won 2-1 at Portsmouth back in April, but right back in the second game of the season, Portsmouth picked up a 2-1 at Plymouth. So that's going to be an interesting game to cover when we get to it. But I think Portsmouth deserve a bit more credit than some people are giving them here, because I know they've always been touted all year as being possible or should be fighting for the automatics, and how badly it sort of went wrong for them over January and February, picking up just 3 wins really from Boxing Day through to the end of February. To then, when they lost to York, they faced Wickham and Wimbledon in the space of 4 days, who sat directly below them in the table, and they needed to get at least 4 points, you'd say, from those games to be to guarantee just getting a playoff place. I remember talking to a friend who's a Portsmouth fan. I said, there's a chance if these don't go your way, you're not going to finish in the playoffs. But they've got the job done there, and then they've backed that up with a good 2-0 win again. You say, talk about Plymouth to Hartlepool and Hartlepool to Plymouth. Portsmouth to Hartlepool isn't really much shorter of a trip, and they've gone there and got a 2-0 win. But they're coming here, playing Northampton the last day of the season. This Northampton side, you could sort of say to them, fair play, they've secured the league promotion and the League Two title, and the foot's come off the gas a little bit. But then you look at it, it's just a few more draws, really, that weren't there all year. They're still unbeaten in 23 games, which is quite incredible, really. They've scored in 19 of their 22 away matches this season. So, for me, it's a tricky game. But then you look at the prices here. Northampton 2-1 on the league leaders against the Portsmouth side, who I know they will want to sort of be playing at home in that second leg, but and Paul Cook will have them fired up for this game. But you've got to think, sometimes as a player, you possibly would suggest maybe they're being a bit cautious. You'd be thinking, oh, I want to make sure I'm going to be there in the playoffs. And by the same token, they probably need to put performance in so they get in the starting 11. But I think in the back of players' minds, there might be that tendency to just save a little bit and leave a bit in the tank, because the playoffs are rigorous. It's 2 games in the space of 4 days, and then followed up by possibly a big Wembley final. And I think for Portsmouth, it's a tricky game for how they approach this, and I'm not sure that I could back them there, the price they're at this game, and the fact they're playing Northampton, who are such a good side, as I've said all year, it's a broken record, but I expect them to do it almost, not necessarily, I'm not saying they're going to go up next year, but I see them to mirror what Burton have done and certainly compete in League One next year and at least get a top half finish. I'd be interested to see what the odds are come the start of next season on where Northampton are going to finish in League One next year. But coming into this one, I think it's certainly going to have plenty of goals. I think the way these two teams have played recently, Portsmouth have certainly tried to open up a bit more than how they were playing at the start of the year. They've scored in their last 9 matches. And if you look at this game alone, half of their 10 home wins this season have seen both teams to score. And just 3 teams have managed to keep Northampton out this season. So that's 19 of Northampton's 22 away matches this season they've scored in. But for the same time, Northampton only kept 5 clean sheets away from home. Both teams to score has landed in 16 matches on the road for Northampton this season, with Northampton winning 10 of these, drawing 5 and just 1 defeat. But it's tricky with how the Portsmouth are one of these sides that do get results here and there. Like I say, they did win at Plymouth. They won the reverse fixture in this game 2-1 as well. So both score, no draw intrigued me in this one at 11-8. I think there's a really good option here because you've got both teams will want to entertain their fans, I'd say. Both teams like to score goals. And it's sort of a sitting on the fence bet in a way. But I think it is a very good bet. If I was pushed on the outrights, I just think Northampton are too good to turn down at 2-1. I know you napped them last week and they let a couple of weeks ago, and they let you down with a draw at Yeovil. But I think they will get something out of this game. But I think both score no draw just gives you that added protection. And just on a little side note here, a possible other bet if you're looking, drawing at half time has been a common theme for both of these sides. Portsmouth at home, 12 of their 22 matches have been level at the break, and for Northampton, half of their 22 have been at home. So first half betting on the draw is there at 21-20, but I think a great bet, both score no draw, 11-8, and you're just going to sit there and hope the goals fly in and someone gets a winner, really.
Okay. Right then, we'll move on to naps. Pete is some way clear, it has to be said, so we've got some work to do to try and peg him back. He has obviously napped in the Championship. He has gone for Burnley away at Charlton. Now, he's gone for the tie handicap. So Burnley minus a goal, Charlton plus a goal. It is effectively Burnley to win by a single goal at the Valley. That is priced up at 11-4. I'm also in the Championship for my nap. I've gone for Huddersfield against Brentford, a game with very little riding on it, to be over 3.5 goals at 6-4. That one has a real end-of-season feel to it, as far as I'm concerned. So 6-4 for over 3.5 goals in Huddersfield-Brentford for me. And what's it going to be for you, Jason?
I'm going back into League One, back towards the start of the podcast, and I'm going to stick with a side who, in all my, all the months I've been doing this podcast now, so a season and a half, have always done well for me, really, in Burton, and with a lot to do, but I think they're going to do it. I said it's a very probable bet with how their results go this season. Burton to win to nil, 15-8. Doncaster, 9 home defeats, 6 of them to nil. Burton, 12 away wins, 10 of them to nil. Put those together, I get 1 and 1 equals 2. So 15-8 on Burton to win to nil is my final regular season nap of the year.
Okay, Burton to win to nil then. For Jason in the, as you said, the final round of fixtures. You put those three together then, the tie handicap, Burnley minus a goal, Charlton plus a goal, Burnley to win by a goal at Charlton, that's 11-4. Huddersfield Brentford over 3.5 goals at 6-4, and Burton to beat Doncaster to nil at 15-8. Put those three together, it's nearly 26-1. You can tell that we're reaching the end of the season and we need some big price naps, can't you? But who knows? It could be a fantastic end to the season for people who follow the naps. Great stuff, Jason. We'll be back with you throughout the playoffs, as and when we know who's playing and when they're playing. So keep an eye out, listeners, for when the next podcast is out. I'm sure that between myself and Pete and Jason and Lee Phelps as well, and whoever's going to be featuring on those podcasts, we'll be tweeting stuff out. So keep an eye out for those. Best of luck with your selections on the final day of the season, Jason, and I'll see you in the playoffs.
Thank you much. Look forward to it, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.